you, Lord. Well, you ever thought you were through with something and you just said, well, it's time to move on to something else? And then all of a sudden God kind of takes you and kind of rings you and it's a little bit more in there. It's some more stuff coming out. Well, the same thing if you missed 3 weeks ago, we started out with two kinds of faith. Then it went to part two. Today is going to be part three. And if he squeezed some more, it'll be a part four. But I really believe that I thought it was done. I was moving on. But no, God says, we need some more I want to give. So here it is. I'm going to give it to you today. Matter of fact, you can start turning to Jeremiah 17:5, but it'll be a little while before we get there because you know how an airplane does. It's got to go down, taxi, and after the people get on, take, and he's got to finally make his way out to the main runway, right? So that's what you just kind of, you're coasting along right now, and just kind of moseying along, and we're going to hit the runway in a few minutes. But as last week we discussed, feeling is the voice of the body. Reasoning is the voice of the mind. But your conscience is the voice of the spirit. You always had that little voice, that inward witness, that voice inside was is trying to tell you something. Most of the time he's telling me, don't do it. Don't do it. And that's the inward witness. That is the Spirit of God speaking to us, to you, to me, and everywhere. But, you know, acting on reason instead of relying on God's word means to trust in the arm of man instead of God's word. How many times? Perfect example right now doing this, if you want to call it election year, you can listen to one channel on TV and listen to another channel, and you listen to this, you listen to that, and we can be persuaded. But we're not persuaded by what we hear. Because we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Right? So we want to rely on God's word. That means that we're going to trust God when the situation looks like it's not going to be good. But we have to trust God no matter what. You know, naturally, there are many instances where we must act on some of our reasoning. You know, I mean, well, we all know certain time of the year you plant seed and it's for your garden. Certain times of the year you do this and do this and that grows and you make and then all of a sudden it's not making anymore. See, there's reasoning why. Because of the weather situations and things like that. You're trusting God for what you plant, it will grow. But it's a reasoning that we plant at a certain time of the year because of weather situations. You know, but I'm not referring to circumstances is what I'm saying. That reason, if it contradicts God's word, if it goes against God's word, you're reasoning on the wrong side. We need to understand not to reason if it goes against God's word. We saw the same thing with Abraham. How many anybody knows about Abraham? 99-year-old man. His wife's roughly 90 years old. God said, you're going to have a baby. Yeah. Somebody else laughed too. You think about it. 99. There's nobody in here 99 years old, is it? No, I didn't think you was. But you think about it. That is, now if your reasoning got in, you wouldn't believe what God's word said, right? So you don't want to reason. God told you you're going to have a child. And somebody laughed. But what did God say? So shall thou seed be. That's what he told Abraham, right? He said, so shall your seed be. You will have a baby. 99 years old. And I thought my son was old because they're having twins next month and he's 43. And he thinks he's old. And I said, remember Abraham? He said, yeah, I know. But there it is. And he's having twins. So, what can I say? But you have to understand, and as a matter of fact, God even changed Abram's name to Abraham. Why is that? Well, what does that mean? It says, father of many nations. Can you imagine his wife hollering out, Abraham! And she is saying, father of many nations. Even though she was saying Abraham, but Abraham meant a father of many nations. She was telling him, you're going to be the father of many nations. Right? So, you see what I'm saying? That's reasoning at 99 years old. Ha, ha, ha. Not me. Oh, I'll throw in the towel. Oh, that's it. But God said, what did he say? So shall thy seed be. That's God. Reasoning is, I'm 99. You know? I don't even go to the workout at the gym anymore. I'm 99 years. But you see, God's word said, you know, it's all right to act on reason. Now, you think about it. As long as it doesn't contradict the word of God. Reasoning to have a child at 99 years old was his reasoning saying, no, I'm not going to have that child because, no, he didn't say that. He believed what God's word said, right? They believed it. But you know, to act on reason, then the word means to trust in man, right? And as a matter of fact, now let's go to Jeremiah 17:5. We're fixing to put the throttle down, so hang on. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 17:5. It says, thus says the Lord, cursed, right, is the man who trusts, no, cursed is the one who trusts in man. Okay? And makes flesh, right, makes flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. It's God's word right here telling us, cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh than his strength, for his strength, and whose heart turns away from God. When you start trusting in your reasoning and yourself, you turn away from God. What it says right here, doesn't it? When you're trusting something else to take place, when it's all God's word, says here that you're turning away from God. You're turning your face from God. Why? Because you're reasoning and not believing his word. We're not trusting his word. We're not understanding. As a matter of fact, the same thing is true concerning salvation. That's why we said before, it's a lot of people sitting in church thinking they're going to heaven. Whoa, what do you mean by that? Well, glad you asked. I can remember one time I was in a meeting, church meeting, and this woman come up and she said, I'm saved because I repented of my sins and I've given up on all my bad habits. Okay? That's no evidence of salvation. Just repentant. Repenting is not. Once you get born again, then God gave us that so we can repent to stay, what? So we can stay close to the Father. But just to say that I've given up all my bad habits and I've repented doesn't mean you're saved and going to heaven. What makes you the judge? I said, I'm not being the judge. I'm just telling you what God's word says here. It says she gave up all her bad habits and she said she was saved with the evidence that she, you know, if she said she was saved, and she said she repented. Now, she didn't say she was saved. She said that she was repented, and she's given up all her bad habits. Okay? She was about as saved as the man in the moon. Because she has never, we'll explain that a little bit later on salvation, because she didn't give any credit to Jesus, what Jesus did for her to be saved. All she did said, I repented. And then, guess what? I'm not doing all them bad things I used to do. Well, gosh, how many bad things? I mean, God probably, he had probably a list of bad things that I did. But all I had to do is when I gave my heart to Jesus to be the Lord of my life, and when I confessed with my mouth, right, and believed in my heart, guess what? I am saved. Then, now, the list that I had, that God had, that all of my wrongs, all of my sins, guess what? Because I repented. Because Jesus saved me. Not me. I gave up all my, like the lady was saying, I gave up all my bad habits. I tell you what, I don't know. I've been saved since 1958. I still make some mistakes, and I have to repent. I mean, I'm not on this glory train by myself and some people behind me, and we're all, everything is hunky-dory. No. It's things that come out of your mouth that shouldn't come out of your mouth, showing love to one another. It's things that come up that watch the New Orleans Saints on TV. God doesn't care if the Saints win. Not those Saints. He's caring about these Saints. That's his team, because we're all in the army of God, right? We are supposed to be working together as a team. The Saints of God. Not the Saints of New Orleans. Even though we pull for them. But I tell you what. God pulls for these saints of God a whole lot more than he pulls for the saints in New Orleans. You see what I'm saying? And, you know, and I'm a sports person myself. Like last night, halftime was it with LSU. Why is that? Because I know what I have to do in the morning. I have a responsibility to do something in the morning. I have to be, I choose to be here in church Sunday morning to give God 1 hour at least of my time to worship him. And I won't go no further with that. That's between you and God. But I choose to worship God. I don't choose to worship, well, I'm too tired. I mean, we had a granddaughter this morning, and she knows she can't use the excuse, I'm too sleepy. Not at our house. Guess what? She got up. She got dressed. She didn't say nothing about it. The only thing she said was when we asked her a question, she says, wait a minute, I can't think right now. I'm still trying to wake up. That was putting it nicely that I'm still sleepy. But she didn't say it. She got up. She was excited. Why? Because she was going to help with the younger kids, and she just loves that, because that's just her. She likes that kind of stuff. But you know, the question is, somebody might ask this, and you know, and churches are full of people like this. Can a person repent and still not be saved? Certainly. He can't. If they don't go any further, that's it. They'll never see heaven. They could be in church all the time. They could be, super duper. Boy, that's a model church person right there. They're in church. They sing here. They do this. They do that. And boy, they're a model person. They got a special room up in heaven for them. They got a special mansion. That's what we got. That's what God's word says. We got a mansion, right? We don't have a little room off to the side. We got a mansion for us, for one of us. Hallelujah. Because you are talking about that. I knew this guy that a long time ago, he was in church. He never missed. He had his two sons were about my age. They would be in church every Sunday, every Wednesday. Every time there was something going on at church, he was there. He would cut grass. He would dump the trash. He would do whatever it took around the church. He was doing. I said, man, that guy there is on fire for God. He's on fire for God and going straight to hell. Why is that? He was going by his mom's rules of the house, of the denomination that they were in. He wouldn't go to any kind of activities outside the house. He wouldn't watch no TV. He wouldn't do anything. He didn't cuss. He didn't drink. He didn't smoke. He didn't do anything. But he was still going straight to hell. And, you know, and when he came up one Sunday for salvation, It shocked everybody. I mean, it was a lot of, oh. You ever been in one of those kind of things? What? But you know, he was born again. He was going to go to heaven. But no, he said what he did, he followed his mama's rules. She said that you can't do this. You can't do that. But she never explained to him about salvation. Churches are full of people that are going to hell. Why? Because they have not given in to the Lord Jesus Christ. They have not given in to letting him be the king of their life. And you say, like about, you say something about what, smoking and drinking and all that. Well, somebody said, if you're born again, is it a sin to smoke and drink? All I can say is, you'll probably get to heaven a little bit quicker. So why would you want to put, I mean, I guarantee you, I rode every horse there was. Except for the drug part, because that was illegal during my time of coming up. But I could tell you one thing, if there was, you know, I can tell you, it was not pretty. But I could also tell you one thing, I had a loving God that brought me back in, and then why did I release all of that other stuff? Because that was not a witness to Jesus for what Jesus did for me. The alcohol, it had to go. The nicotine, it had to go. And he cleared it up. He got it out. And I still now have a better relationship with Jesus now, because I don't have to think about, I have to go do this, I have to go do that. No, I have a personal relationship with him. And I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I am not saying that it's a sin if you smoke and drink and all of that. That's between you and God. Because he didn't give me the leadership of saying, sin, you're a sinner, you're going to hell. No, he didn't say that. He's in his word. He tells you what his word says. So you listen to his word and not man's word. Trust in God and not in man. Didn't we just talk about that before? You have to trust in God. And like I said, if you do those things, you may get to heaven quicker than everybody else because of that. But I can tell you one thing. It's a blessing to have freedom in Christ, to be free in the Lord Jesus Christ because of what he has done for us. And I can tell you one thing, that guy turned my heart around when I saw him thinking that he was the mold from heaven, coming to church. He was God's right-hand man. And to find out he has never been born again. But he understood by hearing and reading the word that he was following man's rules instead of God's word. And he has accepted Jesus. And like he said, his mom was a very strict mom. I had strict parents on discipline. But far as church, there was no choice. You were at church, or it was no option with my parents. They said, let's get in the car. We're leaving to go to church. Nobody ever got left behind at my house. We were in the church. I mean, in the car. We drove several miles to the church. We got there way before anybody else was there. Dad loved to be there early, and it kind of rubbed off. I get here just about earlier than anybody. And I like getting here early to be in the presence of the Lord with just me and him in his house, in this building. But you know, it's things that we have to understand. How hungry are you for the Lord? How hungry are you to let God come in and tell you what to do? There's a lot of hard-headed Christians. You know, they think they got it all together. God will change that in a heartbeat, like I heard. Poof. Poof. So we have to be ready at all times. But you know, the repentance for wrong acts doesn't save you. All that does is let the other person know you're sorry what you did. especially if you get an argument with your neighbor, you get this or that and the other, and you say, oh, I'm sorry. That's all it is. You're telling them you're sorry. But what has Jesus done for you? What has Jesus done for each and every one of us? You know, we don't need physical evidence of what Jesus did for us. We know what in His Word, and we trust in His Word to set us free from whatever's going on in our life. Whatever's going on, if we need reconciliation with family, we can get that through His Word. Why is that? Is it going to happen overnight? No. But I know one thing. We've got Jesus that we can pray for those family members. We can pray for this and that and just let God take care of it. People work themselves to where they can't do anything. Why? Because they're trying to do it on their own. I turn it over to Jesus. And I don't want it. Because my wife could tell you, she says, sometimes I could just hit him because he just don't want to get excited but getting angry about a situation. I'm not going to get angry over a situation. People are not going to put me in an early grave, put it that way, of worry, heart attack. No, I'm going to keep myself pure before God, and I'm going to let God take care of whatever else it is. God gave us angels, and there's nothing wrong with says God. Send those angels, sick them. You take care of it, because I'm not going. I don't know if anybody ever been coon hunting before. Anybody been coon hunting? Yeah, here we got a few been coon hunting. Yeah, you turn your dog loose. You turn the dog loose and just let the dog go. And you hear them. You know what type of, where they're at. You hear that bark. And when that bark gets a little different, you say, okay, let's get in the truck because the coon's over there in a tree. Oh, you talk dog? He said, you can tell by the way they bark. So just let it go. And you can tell when the angels are coming, the Holy Spirit is taking over. And in the people's lives, you can hear the sound of them by the way they talk. You see what I'm saying? Matter of fact, talking about salvation, look in Romans 10, verse 9. Romans 10, verse 9. Hallelujah. And this is what it says. If you confessed with your mouth. A lot of churches don't teach this. They just, you want to get born again? You want to get saved? Come up here and pray this prayer after me. But I can tell you, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Guess what? You didn't have to sign up for a 10-week membership at your local church to find out how to get saved. No. You could do that. That salvation is done instantly through Jesus. Once we confess with our mouth that the Lord Jesus Christ and shall believe in our heart. A lot of people say it, but don't believe it. Guess what? They're going to hell. The part is we have to believe it. Confess with our mouth. Believe in our heart that God has raised him up from the dead and you shall be saved. End the story. Get into His Word. A lot of people out there get saved. People say, man, we got 12 people saved. Well, where are they at now? Because they're just going to sit there the rest of their life. It's like having Elodie not growing anymore. Her body stays the same. When she gets 16, 17, she'll be still that same age. Spiritually, we're talking about. Spiritually is what we're saying. That if you don't get into God's Word, don't find a church that's teaching the Word of God, you're going to be like Elodie is right now, 16 years from now. Why is that? Because you're not growing. You're not renewing your mind. You're not growing in the Lord. I can tell you, it's a whole lot more I know now than I did 16 years ago. Really, 5 years ago. You could, because why? Because I'm continuously growing. I'm getting away from all of the old, this is what they say at this church, this is the only thing you can do. Show it to me in the Word. That's where I'm at now. You show it to me in the Word, then I'll go along with it. But if they're not, if they're just making up some kind of man-made rules, I don't go by those. I go by what the Word of God says. The Word of God will set us free. The Word of God is what's going to take us to a higher level. The Word of God is going to show us where we're wrong. You don't need a pastor or an elder or anybody going to you and say, guess what? You're wrong. Why? Because you got the Word of God. The Word of God, I tell you what, I can get in. I was in the Word the other day, and I was almost crying. It was like God was showing me, man, I got to repent. You see, when we think things are going, well, we just roller skating along. And all of a sudden, the Word of God kind of poof. Oh, no. I didn't do that, did I? God, forgive me. I didn't know. But you know what? It set me free. Once I gave it to the Lord, I was set free. And I know that the Word is changing me. Because you can tell people that don't come to church very often. They're still young. They might be a little bit older than Elodie. Not much. Why? Because their mind's so set on the things that happened a long time ago. This is what my daddy said. This is what my mama said. You better do what they, if you don't, you're going to hell. No. That's control. That's not discipline. Discipline is, come on, son, daughter, we're going to church. You discipline yourself. And I've seen so many people, you got to watch them because they'll just fall off the edge if they start missing a few times. Before you know it, they're out playing in the world. Why is that? Because they're not hearing the Word. And the Word is what's going to draw you back into Christ. Why? Because God is love. You're not going to find love out there like the love of God. You may think it is, but that's only temporary. And you're going to be hurt, if not killed. Death will come eventually, not getting into God's Word. And it will be a slow, agonizing death of listening to somebody else, doing what somebody else said, guess what? God's Word says you work out your own salvation, not your wife, not your husband. You work out your own salvation. I could tell you one thing. If she ever decided she didn't want to come to church, guess what? She would stay at home. I hate to tell you that, but she knows it. She wasn't feeling too good one time, a long time ago, because she knows better now, because I say, I am leaving to go to church. She says, well, I just don't feel good. She heard it crank up, and I was gone. She said, I was going to get dressed. I said, well, you would have been late. She knows at a certain time, we're going to church. She's never done that. See, we've been married 20 years, so it must have probably been about 19 years ago. But she knows that God comes first in my life. And she knows that she comes right below God. And then my children. And I can tell you one thing. If you mix that order up, you're going to get confused. You're not going to be serving God like you should be serving God. You're going to be doing things that you shouldn't be doing, and it makes a mess, especially when you have a family that one don't believe in anything, and you got one that believes everything. So there's going to be a conflict of interest in there somewhere. And then if you're trying to raise smaller children, and one of them is believing this, one of them believing that, guess what? Remember the scripture in the Bible says, "Do not." It said, "Do not." I'll say it again. Do not be unequally yoked. It's in there for a reason. You know, somebody go spend $100 an hour at a psychiatrist. When God's Word, it tells you right there, do not be unequally yoked. And I can tell you, it don't work to be in the same household. So that was one thing we did tell our singles when we were singles directors at Living Glory. Don't rush it. Wait. Poof. You know, wait. Because I can tell you, it's better to wait so you don't make the plans and then unmake the plans. And through divorce and all of that. We've seen too many that didn't listen to what the Word of God said and got married. Within a year later, they were back. Oh, no, we're divorced. And it was counsel to them to get in God's Word and do what it says. Just kind of wait a while and make sure. Because you know they're not equally old. Yeah, but they go to that church over there. That's a hopping church over there. Well, let them hop. But what are they teaching them? You see what I'm saying? There's a difference between hopping and teaching. So if they're teaching you the Word, you're going to get what the Word says. If they're hopping, you're going to get what the hop does. You're going to be hopping. You're going to be all in all shambles because you want to go to church, but they don't want to go to church. You see what I'm saying? It's better to wait. But if you're already in that situation, remember, you work out your own salvation. I can't work out her salvation, and she can't work out my salvation. I have to work out my own. I have to have a repentive heart before the Lord at all times. Why? Because I want to go to heaven. Because I know what Jesus did for me. And I know he can do it for you. And you've seen a glimpse of the things that Jesus has done for you. But you want the full manifestation. So what you do, you get into his fullness of his Word and let his Word do the changing in you. Don't let somebody say, well, you can't do it. Uh-uh. I can do it. Whatever it says in his Word, I can do it. Because God said in his Word, I can do all things. Through Christ, right? So we have to understand that. And we also have to understand, salvation comes as a result of an Abraham-type faith. Remember that first one, Thomas' faith, Abraham faith. Abraham-type faith, a heart faith. What do you really believe in your heart? So many times we hear people say, well, God knows my heart. It's a cop-out, a lot of times. Because you really don't know, want God to know what's in your heart, even though he does. It's a cop-out when people say that. And also a spiritual faith. A faith based on not a physical evidence, but on the Word of God. The Abraham kind of faith and not the Thomas faith. Hallelujah.